that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And it has. And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live this Saturday morning, November 9th, 2013. Live from a beautiful radio ranch where the cows are, well, the cows aren't too happy because they got weaned this week. And they're still in the process, the cattle are and the calves. But we'll say good morning to everybody. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, John.
Good morning.
And good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And this is Ranch Wrangler Richard, and we say good morning. We say good morning, Holy Spirit. And we ask you to be here with us. Kyle, you want to open us up in prayer?
Sure. Oh, God, my Heavenly Father. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity again to gather in your name, the blessed holy name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we just ask you to be with us today. As Richard said, we ask for the Holy Spirit to be upon us today, our thoughts and our words, in our daily lives, just to guide and protect us, give us comfort and strength. Lord, and be with the remnant out there. Lord, as we try to have an outlet here for the remnant to be able to come to and have a cup of coffee with and maybe call in and speak, Lord, and let us have good fellowship, Lord. And even though we might have different opinions on some things, but let us be of one mind. Let us have the mind of Christ, Lord, as we go out over the airwaves and we go out into the world to do what we have to do, Lord. But let us not forget, Lord, the gospel of the kingdom. As they were sent out many years ago, let us have that same spirit within us, Lord, that we can spread your gospel to whoever will accept it. And the ones that won't, Lord, give us the strength to dust off our feet and move on. It's tough sometimes, but it has to be done. Again, we thank you. Thank you for this day. And we ask that you just be with us in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Kyle. Well, here we are, the first full week of November. I thought we'd start off. Jason, we had an urgent prayer request that came in for Robert yesterday with pneumonia. I didn't know if you had an update on that or if you'd heard anymore.
Nope, I do not.
But we did put it out on the prayer chain, a second one yesterday. And that was for Robert, for his lungs to heal. I guess he's got double pneumonia and infection.
They've ended up putting him on life support for with oxygen. And said that he couldn't survive without it just because, you know, the infection had gotten so bad. What state is that? I believe it's Tennessee. Okay.
Yeah, it came in from two different sources yesterday, so we sure sent it out. Well, Jason, you want to just offer up another prayer for Robert this morning, and we'll go from there.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we lift Robert up to you and we lift him up for the healing that he needs. We pray, Father, that you as the physician, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, take this affliction from Robert, take it upon yourself, Father. See to it that he doesn't have to be on life support in that hospital any longer. We ask you to take and heal his lungs from the inside out, from the top to the bottom, purify him, kill this virus, bacteria, whatever it is that's infected his lungs, and see to it that he can breathe on his own with no assistance, Father. That's our desire, and we ask, Father, for you to make that happen. We ask for you to open the doors that need to be opened and close the doors that need to be closed. And Father, we pray for this to take place. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
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 Amen. And we'll follow that up with a praise report. Brother Fred called me yesterday. Fred in Louisiana. We've been praying for him for a good job. And he said he sends his thanks for all the prayers, said he got a good job. I think it's a type of shipping clerk type thing, and that's where he has some experience there. And so he wanted to make sure we let everybody know thanks for the prayers. And he sure wanted to give that praise report that he got. He's got a good job, and it's with some of the men that are there in the area. So that's a double good thing.
Praise God.
So.
Yeah, he'd been without a job for quite some time, and finally we're just like, wow, maybe we should put that on the prayer chain and petition our Lord and Savior.
Right.
And we did, and sure enough, Lord delivered a job.
Amen. And I think it shows good perseverance as well. We're told in the Word to persevere. That, you know, God's not slow about as far as some people consider slowness, and I think that applies in a lot of different areas. And I know Fred sure kept the faith and hasn't been discouraged and, you know, certainly hasn't been whining or discouraged about it, but sure seemed like he's kept a good attitude.
Basically, he's used the extra time to get deeper into the Word. So
amen. So thank you, Lord. Thank you,
if Lord. Not more unemployed people did that.
If they did, there'd be less unemployed people, huh?
Yeah, imagine if they gave them scriptures to read before they give them their unemployment check.
How about scriptures to read instead of their unemployment check?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, some people need a hand up, but
sure.
It's become a lifestyle's problem.
Yeah, it has. Oh, there was a parody that came out, and I think it was yesterday's, made the rounds on the email anyway. It was, it wasn't true. It was a parody. It was, you know, making fun of what's going on, but it was basically the Obama stations that the Obama administration was going to open up gas stations in these underprivileged neighborhoods. And give out free gas. And one of the little sidelines on it says, yeah, it's part of the health care because, you know, how can people go to the doctor if they don't have gas in their car? And I showed it to Diane. She was over here yesterday afternoon. It is that lifestyle. And it's interesting when parodies and fun is poked You know, Saturday Night Live has been around for 30 years, Kyle.
I would say in the early 70s or middle 70s. Yeah.
That'd be more like 40 years, but yeah. But it's been around a long time.
I was a teenager when I remember it.
A long time. And they've always, you know, most of the time it's, and I haven't watched it in years, but you see little clips and whatnot of it and hear how they've poked fun at Obama. And they've poked fun at the Obamacare rollout and the, you know, the different things. And all basically you hear is that you see a blurb on the news. They've done this parody or that parody. Well, see, it's okay for them to do it because they're the filthy left-winger antichrists anyway, you know. But this past week, I saw a little news blurb, and we were traveling this week, so we didn't get to watch much news. But I guess they had the Country Music Awards this past week. Mm-hmm. And they had, I don't even know who it was, a couple of country music people. And in their little skits and presenting awards and emceeing the show, they poked fun at Obamacare and the problems with the rollout. And, oh, the filthy replies that have come out of the left wing. I mean, stuff that I won't dare even try to repeat here. And it's just interesting. I just wanted to bring that out because it
well, they assaulted their God.
They did. Correct. They did. And see, it's okay if they poke fun at their God. It's almost a type of worship for them, I think. But when someone that's outside of their direct little group does it, the filth and the vileness and the that came out was just unbelievable. Actually, it was believable. You know, it's like, how dare you? They mocked Obama. Well, you know, Saturday Night Live has done that every other Saturday night for the last 6 years.
No matter who the president was, I think.
Yeah, not a problem. And I think we talked about that before, you know, back in the Nixon days, how they mocked him, you know, I am not a crook. And they always do that. But when, now that it's addressed at Obama, all of a sudden it's racist and it's, and it is. I think the lines are being drawn. The people, you know, they have made the choice to choose those false Baals and those false prophets and those false gods that are there. And that is, it's that, like you said, John, it's that environment, it's that society of living on the unemployment checks, on living on the, you know, the freebies, so to speak. We know that there's no free lunch. But, you know, there are millions of people that now are into the third generation of living on that government handout. Yeah. And so sure they're gonna worship the God that gives them, the small G God that gives them that kind of stuff.
I thought it was interesting this week though, they started comparing Obamanation to Nixon. Because of the lies. Nixon was the liar, and so is Obamanation.
Well, you know what, and what's funny about the whole deal is they're coming out and they're making it a big deal, like
that's
Obama lied to us.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, oh, what, you know, he lied to us, and we have 23 recordings here of him saying that you can keep your health care plan, and now it appears that he didn't, and it's like they're making it like shocking news that he lied to us, and I'm like, come on, people, are you serious? You caught him in a lie? He's been lying all along.
No kidding.
You know, like his father. Exactly, and it was hilarious to hear because even these conservative talk show hosts are, you know, playing sound bites and playing this and that, saying, oh, see, we proved that he lied to us. He lied to everybody, and it's like, big surprise. That shouldn't surprise anybody. They should have figured that out a long time ago. If they had to have a brain, they would have.
And not with just Obama. I mean, we can all remember the Read My Lips, you know. And
exactly.
I mean, it's been going on, and it, you know, that's part of their character. You know, I mean, it is. That's part that really hit me too, Jason. I was just like, are you kidding me? The guy, they've been lying. You know, ever since we can remember, and they're like having a cow over this.
Yeah, it's like big deal. Get used to it, people. That's what I was thinking. Because it was like, but it just shows you how even those that are supposed to be on the other side, the conservative Republicans, are just playing into the plot.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty obvious when you listen to them and their arguments, and it's like, what are you going to do about it? You know, and they just, you know, I think listening to a lot of that stuff is just a way for people to vent their frustration. You know, and I don't even know if it vent it. I mean, I just maybe it built on it, but you know, it's ridiculous some of their arguments. It's like, okay, yeah. He is a liar, has been from the beginning, will be to the end. What don't people get about that?
Yeah, no doubt.
It's what they do. They are of their father the devil, who was a liar from the beginning, and they come to steal, kill, and destroy. And, you know, that's part of the reason that we have these broadcasts, is to try to wake the people up, take them by the shirt collar, shake them, and wake them up and say, hello, you need to wake up to this.
Yeah, the birth certificate thing, you know, and went on for, years, basically, and then Donald Trump comes out.
It really still is.
And then Donald Trump comes out and says, you know, whatever, I'll give $1 million if you... You know, show your birth. I mean, it's all a big game. You know, I mean, I know some people buy into it, and they really think if they can prove that he doesn't have a birth certificate, they'll get him out of office or whatever. But most people, it's just a game. You know, okay, right now we're gonna hate these guys because they're in office, and as soon as the other guys are in office, then the good cop, bad cop changes positions. You know, and then it's just like. Forever and
but
ever.
Now the reality is they're not even hiding it anymore.
That's true.
Even the so-called conservative Republicans are the exact same as the Democrats.
Yeah.
Well, it's like and they give those that oppose the administration so much, they give them they throw them a little, you know, a wing or something, and everybody jumps on the bandwagon with it and consumes time and money, and you know, it gives them something to put their hope into, you know, of getting this bastard out, and they jump on it and they run with it forever and forever, and it just consumes them.
Yeah, I was talking with some men the other day, and they're just telling me how things are swinging our way, people are starting to see Obamacare, you know, this and that, and I'm like, you just don't get it, do you? I said, there's only one way that this country and God's people will be saved, and that's repentance, national repentance, 2 Chronicles 7:14, when my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. And half these people never heard that in their life.
Yeah. We could just keep putting it out, though.
Yep.
Amen. And you
know,
I
people up there in Texas, I think, so praise God.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. And we can't help but think that one of the reasons that we see those in the Devil's City, D.C., turning on each other, they have plans for things to go one way, and before they know it, they're going a different way. The prayers have been offered up by the saints and continue to be. The rifle prayer, the pistol prayer. For God to open the eyes of the people, for God to make the sorceries that have been coming and radiating out of Washington, D.C. since its very inception, for those to stop, for those to cease. And if you're not real familiar with that, we have a couple of DVDs we'd like to offer to you. We do have now, they've shipped out this week, the D.C. Street Sorcery Exposed Part 2. And that is available now. We've been shipping them out this week, and if you'd like it, it's about a $30 value, and that just doesn't really even begin to cover the cost that went into producing this. But we've had DC Street Sorcery Exposed Part 1 out for several years, and it was certainly eye-opening and set the groundwork for and shows through chemistry and physics and history just how evil the Devil City is. And now here's part two. And so if you'd like those, we have them advertised in the Volume 10 newsletter that should be in your hands by now if you get it. We've emailed it out. We've mailed it out. We've done everything we can to get this information into your hands. And we have these DVDs. We'll make you a special offer. If you'd like both of them, maybe you didn't see part one. Maybe it's been a while. But we'll send them both to you for a $30 donation, part one and part two. And that's really about a $50 value. So if you'd like those, we do have them available now. We're still getting emails, and we're starting to get more orders in as the newsletters are getting out in the people's hands. But if you'd like DC Street Sorcery Exposed, part one and part two, we'll give you both of them for a $30 donation. You can write to us at Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535, and request those. Or if you do the internet, if you do email, just drop us an email and order it that way, and we'll do what we can to get it out to you. Our email is preacher@sfaw.org. That's preacher@sfaw.org. Well, Kyle, you got your Bible opened over there.
I bet you got a
scripture verse for us.
What John was just saying, and this is Jesus sending the 12 out there in Mark 6. I mean, the whole thing's good. I'll just read a couple of verses. It says, they went out, this is verse 12, they went out and preached that men should repent. And don't think they didn't know 2 Chronicles 7:14. And then verse 13, it says, and they were casting out many demons and were anointing with oil many sick people and healing them. And the gospel of the kingdom message that they went out with, repent, be baptized for the remission of sins, receive the gift of the Holy. I mean, that was the beginning. You know, when he sent the 70 out and he sent the 12 out, that was the beginning of, I mean, he had already taught them, you know, somewhat, the gospel of the kingdom. They had already seen him perform miracles and healings, and, you know, so they already had this faith building up, you know. And then they went out, but the first thing that said is what John said a while ago, repent. I mean, that's what John the Baptist was preaching, you know, and he came to prepare the way for Christianity, for Jesus Christ, you know. And that's the beginning, you know. I mean, there's no getting around it, you know. People can come up with all kinds of different solutions and different things, you know, but the first thing on the board, repent, you know. Look yourself in the mirror in the morning and repent.
Amen.
It's like when we went to Texas this week, you know, we had the blessing of that trip, among others, was the bonding between us four and you know, spending that kind of time talking about the Word, talking about the truth. And one of the things we talked about was, well, you know, the world, there's a club, and if you don't have that piece of paper that says you're a pastor, then they don't want you to be in that club. Well, today, there is no place that biblically teaches how to be in that club, you know, to be a pastor or whatever. And it was interesting what Kyle said. He says, well, you know, the reality is we have the same credentials as John the Baptist, and that's the truth. It's Holy Spirit inspiration, and, you know, we're supposed to go out and fulfill that great commission to preach the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen. You know, it's funny you mention that, John, because we will get emails and letters here, people asking about baptism. And they'll say, well, do I have to be baptized by an ordained minister or by an ordained pastor?
And
that's the same thing that you know, we use to tell them is what parchment did John the Baptist have hanging on the wall? He didn't even have a wall. You know, he lived in the wilderness, clothed in animal skins, eating locust and honey. He didn't have, you know, a big house like Joel Osteen does. But like you said, Kyle, he paved the way. He prepared the way for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And no, there's no paper needed on the wall. There's not. But you know,
well, here's the credential you need. when the 12 were chosen by God, by the way, they were chosen by God.
Yeah, amen.
I mean, there was no, okay, let's get all the elders together and let's, you know, go in,
vote for somebody.
Go in training and you got to fill out. No, they were chosen by God, and God put His Spirit in them. Mm-hmm. He put His Spirit in their thoughts, in their words, in their, you know. And the 70 the same way. You know, I mean, as the church was built, you know, there became laying on of hands by the presbytery. There became other forms of ordaining, you know. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. But like you said, John, there's not that place anymore that you can go to and you can get proper Bible teaching, proper, you know. So how did we get here? By the only man of God since I was 7 years old that I've ever known in my life that I could say was a true man of God, you know, and God worked with him, and he, you know, he tried to teach us and
prepare
I don't know
us
about it. He's laid hands on all of us at different times, you know what I mean? And, you know, I mean, you can get hung up on the way the church world does it or used to do it or whatever, but the fact of the matter is God does the calling. And the second we don't start teaching or preaching the gospel of the kingdom is the second we're not what we're pretending to be. You know what I mean? Amen. I mean, we either preach the truth or teach the truth or talk the truth or however you want to put it, or we don't. Right. And we're not, then we're not in any position to do any of this. But we do have this stuff in front of us, and, you know, we're learning every day, you know. But the credentials part is, well, God does the calling, you know. And,
right,
you know, it's like I said before, you can call yourself a preacher all you want, but if you don't edify anybody, if you don't exhort anybody, if you don't rebuke anybody, you don't reprove anybody, then you're not doing the work of a preacher.
Right.
You know, you're not helping anybody out just to give them lovey-dovey, make you feel good, whatever. You know, you're not doing anything for God. You know, you might have a good congregation that shows up every Sunday.
You might be doing it, and you think for them. You might be appeasing them, tickling their ears, and I think that's what we saw this past week in Texas.
Oh, yeah.
Is we saw a pastor in a congregation that likes to have their ears tickled, and we saw a big tickler, you know, that does that, and you could just tell. And when real scripture verses were read to that standing room only congregation, like Hosea 4:6, and even Acts 2:38, you could feel that, you know, those were not things they were used. They were used to hearing about, you know, yeah, man, me and old Joe down here at the dove shoot last week, we had a good time. Ha 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 ha. You know, that's what they were used to hearing, and that's what the people out there that just want their ears tickled, that's what they want to hear. You know, they don't want to hear that repentance that's been put out even on this broadcast, but that's what they're going to hear.
Yeah, well, one of the things that really caught my eye and ear and was that one of the pastors that spoke was he couldn't remember Acts 2:38. I mean, he actually had to search for it, and he had the wrong scripture, and it's like I couldn't. It was hard to even comprehend, really, being from the church that we're in, you know?
Yeah. Right.
Still learning.
Amen. Amen. Well, guys, what do you say we open the phone lines up? It's about halfway through the broadcast this morning, this beautiful day here in November.
Sure.
The phone number, if you want to call in, 307-745-5913. And if you want to call in and make a comment this morning. I saw a little bit in the headlines, some current events. I guess the Philippines had over 1,000 fatalities, huge death toll there. Big typhoon roared into them, I guess, yesterday. I just saw a quick headline on this morning. Anybody see anything big on that?
I turned it on this morning. It's still going on. It's kind of went through there a little bit. 190, 195 mile per hour winds.
That's all?
Those palm trees, and those trees were like, I mean, they were bent over sideways, you know. I mean, they didn't have too good of film coverage yet, but I'm sure it'll be coming out. But yeah, it hit them pretty good, or hard, or bad, or however you want to look at it.
Well, here's the phone ringing. Let's go to it. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
I think one of the reasons this repentance is such a hard sell is, you know, I think the first thing that everyone has to realize is you're no damn good. That's a real hard sell. And if you don't sell that, well, what's the benefit of baptism or being in the Lord or the Lord being in you? If you don't see a problem, there's no problem. Who needs the solution? And, you know, for example, that long prayer in the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John, you know, he starts out saying that you know, you've given the devil power over all flesh, and then he goes into the solution, God being in you, you're being in God, the Spirit being in you, He's in the Spirit, you're in the Spirit, the Spirit's in you, we're all one at that point. That's the solution to you come into this world and exist in this world being no damn good, and here's what we can do about it. You know, but, I mean, if you can't convince someone of that, what's the point of repentance? Why rethink this thing? If I'm okay and you're okay...
Well, that's one of the things that the enemy has done, and these dirty bird in the pulpit preachers do, is they, by getting rid of, by saying the law of God is done away with, they do away with sin. And then it's, well, if you think it's okay, and our children have been taught that as a people, they have been taught this situational ethics. They've been taught that for about two generations now. You know, Bobby is hungry. Bobby doesn't have any food. Is it okay for Bobby to steal food because he's hungry? In that instance. Now, normally, stealing's not good. But in that instance, and they have convoluted law and what is right and what is wrong. And so instead of it being based on God and Jesus Christ, what is right or wrong, it's based on your, the Hindus in India, they believe a little different. And the people over here, you know, they have their own culture. And so they have this, you know, this melting, this situational ethics that has come in. And what's happened is, see, people are their own God. They decide what's right and wrong. And that's what we see here. Well, you know, so-and-so believes, well, I don't think that homosexuality is such a bad deal. What people do in their own home is up to them. Well, so you're God. You decide what's right and wrong. And when people are that way,
putting then... putting themselves as God, but they're putting themselves above God. Because if God's Word says one thing, and then you decide that God's Word, you know, doesn't matter, and you're going to make a decision and overrule what God has already ruled on, you're putting yourself above God.
Right. And the people, yep, they don't even see it. So they don't see that there's anything wrong. In Revelation, I don't have it right here, but we read that, you know, the harlot was given time to repent. And she wipes her mouth, that whore of Babylon, and that's where our people are. She wipes her mouth and says, I've done nothing wrong. What do I have to repent of? And Bill, you bring up a good point. That's where our people are today. You know, they're neck deep in that Babylon, and that's where they are. They wipe their mouth. I've done nothing wrong.
Well, they're under a spell, and they've replaced our God with government.
They have.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's man's law and man is God and God is God. But you know, you're talking about the preachers of today. I mean, the preacher of 400 or 500 years ago, some of the stuff that I've read is just, he would have started out with this idea of, you know, well, Bobby is hungry and it's okay for Bobby to steal something. He would have started out with by pointing out that that's Bobby's nature to go steal something when he's hungry. And, you know, if it weren't for the influence of a living God, that's where we'd be. I mean, That's the difference between our being savages and children of God.
Amen. Yeah, you don't have to even go back near that far, Bill. There's there was a spirit of God in this country, you know, and whether people lived it or not, they at least preached it, you know, fire and brimstone and the sin nature, and they sang it in the songs that used to be sung in the churches.
Amen.
There was so many of the songs had to do with washing away your sins and the blood of Christ, and you know, I mean, so I mean, you said 400 years. I mean, if you go back 150 years, you're right in the prime of some good hellfire and brimstone preaching.
Absolutely. Well, Bill, thanks for the call. We're gonna try to take another call here real quick. So, hey, thank you.
Yeah.
All right, sir. And interesting topics is absolutely right. The people don't think they have anything to repent of. Let's go to another caller. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, brothers. It's Tom calling from Missouri.
Hey, good morning, Tom. See if we can pour you a cup here.
Oh,
just belly up to the coffee bar here. I'm about ready for another cup, too, Kyle. Kyle brought a little bit extra in, so.
Yeah, pour me another one, too.
Yeah. What can we do for you, Tom? How are you?
Oh, fantastic, brothers. You know, I pray you guys are, too. Talking about the Judeo-Christianity or the Babylonian Baal priest, or, you know, there's so many things we can call them. When I was 10, I was illegally baptized. That's what I call it, because it wasn't following the law of God. Then I spent another 20 years in the wishy-washy church, not really a true Christian, and then got so disgusted with it, everything that I saw was like, took me to the point that if this is Christianity and this is what God wants, which is what they teach, the dirty birds teach from their little perches, then I don't want anything to do with it. And so I spent 10 years running the opposite direction, doing stupid, crazy stuff. And, you know, I thank God that Holy Spirit got a hold of me. God humbled me and exposed me to Scriptures for America and true Christianity and what it means to be a real man of God, not a neutered man of God, which you can't even call him a man of God, I guess, but it blows my mind that it, I don't know, I guess once you see the light, it's hard to believe that people are still walking in the darkness, you know what I mean?
It's under the spell, yeah.
Yeah. It is, but we have to remember that, you know, as some of us were, I think it says there, is that Corinthians, or I'm not sure exactly where, but, you know, we were the same way, you know, and we have to remember that when we're trying to reach the brethren, not that we compromise the word, but, you know, that we realize that we were in that same position at one time. We all were. And God saw fit to call us out of that, and you know, we've obeyed his word and believed his truth and applied it. And, you know, we now, I think, are called to share that with, you know, with others and to try to get their eyes opened.
That's one thing I'm working. My oldest son's 20. And, of course, you know, I was just baptized this past May. And so he saw the 10 years of me going crazy. And so I'd appreciate y'all's prayers for both my sons. Just that the Holy Spirit will begin to work on them and to work through me and to give me the right words to say at the right time. And, you know, it's just, I you know, looking back, I've had to repent of all of the bad parenting, and especially with the situation down in Texas. And my boys are older than that, but still, they're still young men. And I just appreciate covet all your all's prayers.
Well, we can sure do that. We'll sure keep you in our prayers as well. And do you get our prayer chain down there?
No.
I don't know if you're on the internet or not.
I have to go to other people's house to get on the internet. So I don't get on the internet very often.
Oh, that sure makes it hard. So,
Tom, what's your boy's first name?
Suade, S-U-A-D-E. And Hunter.
All right. I hear exactly what you're saying. You know, and there's no condemnation in Jesus Christ, Romans 8:1. But at the same time, our children are part You know, I mean, they came out of our loins. They have our sin nature, you know, and we can all do a better job. Some of us can do a way better job. And, you know, if I could go back and do things over, I'd definitely do it. But don't condemn yourself, Tom, because if they've seen you going wild, they've also seen you become a changed man, too. So you got to remember that.
They've made comments and noticed. So,
yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
And that's the
praying for them.
And, you know, Tom, that's a summary of the redemption story,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it's while we were all in our sins that Christ died for the ungodly. And so that we would change, so that we would come out and have a sorrowful repentance and you know, unto change, so that we wouldn't continue the way we were. And, you know, if nothing else, that's a good example for them to see that's how it's supposed to be.
I appreciate you, brothers. Y'all have a good morning.
All right. Thank you. And I think we've got time for another caller here. Good morning. Thanks for holding, and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Richard. Good morning, Wranglers. This is another Tom in Texas.
Morning, Tom.
Morning. Praise God for the other Tom. I was listening to his story there. It was good to hear that he's properly baptized and come out of the Babylon, like all of us have. I was listening to you're talking about the government lies. There was a interesting documentary on the JFK assassination called the JFK, the Smoking Gun. And I would probably, after watching that, I'd say that pretty much solves the who actually killed him.
Yeah.
An Australian investigator reviewed all testimonies and all witnesses, everything, and put it together that they don't know how many shots Oswald fired. I've seen car candles before. I suspect Oswald used one shell in the as a chamber plug, shot one with the optic, which is always, when you read about them, they're always off, and then open, shot with the iron sights and hit JFK in the back. And a Secret Service agent in a following car picked up an AR-15 to return fire. When the car jolted forward, he accidentally fired a weapon and fate had its course, and God's will to say that, you know, that even looking at that, how that actually happened, it makes me look at Obama and laugh. I mean, he was to say that the investigator said that he was killed by an accident, greatest tragic accident really in U.S. history. But, you know, I got to thinking about that, and then, you know, you look at Obama's got his Secret Service and all this people around, and he thinks he's safe, and it just makes me laugh just to think about it.
That's what the Lord does.
That's right.
In the heavens, I mean, it was
pretty airtight for motive. I mean, the only thing is, I mean, yeah, Oswald had communist affiliations, and that, where all the other, you know, they say theories involved in who did what. I mean, that'd probably be a good indicator of who was not so sad that day, who wasn't grieving as a result, who benefited.
Yep, who benefited? That's the bottom line. That usually is the bottom line on that. So
there's a term that's like 30 years old, CYA, and a lot of people out there would know what that meant, CYA. And
yeah, I know. I definitely,
you know,
know what.
And I think that pertains to the. I noticed the other day that there's another documentary coming out on National Geographic Channel called "Killing JFK." I mean, there's so many things being put out right now because they're CYA-ing. You know,
yeah, that one was believable
because they don't want people to realize how evil they are.
Right.
You know, not yet anyway.
Right.
I mean, and even for an action, yeah. I got, and just think how easy it is if they just told the truth and exercise the truth from the start. That would have saved this country so much grief and so much trouble for the last 50 years. And that's just the tip of the iceberg of all of their lies.
Right. Yeah. Well, Tom, they can't tell the truth because the truth is not in them.
There's no truth
in
them at all.
They do what they do. They are creatures of instinct.
And, you're and, of your father, and, the devil, there is no truth in him.
And that's what they do.
Murder.
They had their role, just like Pharaoh of old had their had his role, and he got his just rewards for playing mm-hmm. that role.
It was, if you ever get a chance to watch it, or if it comes out, if it's on excuse me, YouTube, I'll send you a link to it if you want to watch it. I'll try to get you send you a link to the full documentary. It is really interesting. The guy, I mean, it definitely lays it all out there that, yes, that's finally believable.
Sure.
You know, if they lied to protect the Secret Service agent, who I'd say had an honest accident, well, I'm sure that, I don't think they'd want the American people learning how to forgive. You know, they want to keep this tension stirred up. They don't want people learning how to forgive one another.
Right.
You know, you're right, that's another tool of the devil, another part of the part of the devil's lies is to get people to, you know, caught off into one false paradigm or another, so they're all under the spell of casting a spell, like Pastor Peter said, is to subdue opposition or gain affection. But never casting a spell is never, of course, to tell the truth.
Right. Well, hey, thanks for the call. Thanks for bringing that up.
God bless you all, and I'll look forward to seeing you all tomorrow in church.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right. Bye-bye.
Yeah, if you think about it, as we brought the truth to that group there in Texas about baptism, the pastor that followed had to make sure that he brought the false doctrine, because it's such a threat to their false doctrine, you know.
It is.
He stopped short of basically asking people to come up and accept Jesus Christ for as their personal Savior in a funeral, you know.
Yeah, it was an altar call. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, he had to slide in the outward sign to show people.
Yeah, you can come up here and you can ask to be Jesus Christ into your heart, and you can come up here and we can baptize you, and you can show that, you know.
Yeah.
But nothing about repentance, nothing about proper baptism.
Well, folks, this week, this past Monday, we started, brought back some of Pastor Peter's old radio broadcasts. This past Monday night, we started it, and we encourage you to tune in this next Monday night at the early broadcast hour, 6 p.m. Mountain, 7 p.m. Central, and 8 p.m. Eastern, for Classic Truths. And this Coffee with the Wranglers will replay on Monday night at 7 p.m., so this Classic Truths will be the hour before that. But, you know, Pastor broadcast from his radio ranch for years, sometimes five nights a week, sometimes five nights a week and 5 days a week. I know when I got out here, he was doing two live broadcasts a day. And, you know, those programs played a time or two back then, but they have not been in the rotation since then. And so we've dug down into the archive vault and pulled these out, and we're playing them again Monday nights. We're calling them Classic Truths because that's what they are. They're classic. They never go out of style, and they are truths straight from the Bible. Whether it's pastor interviewing authors or others, or commenting on the events of the day.
Yeah, you might tune in and hear your own phone call you made about six or 8 years ago.
That's right.
Asking him a question. I mean,
that's right. There's plenty of those in there. Yeah. And so this is going to be an ongoing thing. So add that to your listening schedule during the week. Again, Mondays, 6 p.m. Mountain, 7 p.m. Central, and 8 p.m. Eastern. And and while we're talking about that, if you're listening in on shortwave, we have a slight frequency change on the shortwave schedule, and I got the note here. Let me pull this out. We want to get that across to you. The 9480, which is basically our daytime broadcast frequency. Now, we've just changed the hours on that because of the daylight savings time and the changes in the season. But that 9.480 is being changed and has been changed to 9.475. Doesn't sound like a big change, but don't have time to get into all the whys and hows and because ofs, but it's changed. So 9480 has bounced down just a little bit to 9.475, and that is basically the daytime frequency. And so that should be what, I guess, what you're listening to right now. And that is starts at 6 a.m. Mountain, 7 a.m. Central, and 8 a.m. Eastern, of course, 5 a.m. on the Pacific. And that runs basically through the entire day. And then in the evening at 5 p.m. Mountain, 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern, we change over to the 5.830. And it's real simple. Those are the two frequencies that we're on, 5830 at night and 9.475 during the day. So make that change, and you'll be able to get us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We've got a couple minutes left. Let's go back to the phone. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yeah, it's Vance over here in St. Louis. Wanted to tell you guys, me and my wife just watched that same thing about JFK last night, and that's exactly the same conclusion that we came to, that God killed him, and what are you going to do about it?
Well, there you go.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, look at what he did that year. He signed in the law banning God out of school, so there you go. I guess nobody thinks of it that way, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it could very well be, Vance.
The other thing, that funeral for my nephew that we went to, that guy was doing the same thing up there. You know, he's up there basically saying that the devil did it. And, you know, just accept Jesus into your heart. He had my knees all confused and everything. And, you know, I just wanted to go up there and you know, and do something bad to him, and I had to repent of the thought of it, you know, and it just made me mad. But anyway, I just wanted to call you guys and tell you that.
Hey, thanks for calling in and sharing that.
No problem, no problem. You guys have a good day, and we're still listening to you out here.
All right, thanks a lot.
You bet. Bye-bye.
God is in control.
He always,
has been.
Always is. Always is. You know, another thing that's been kind of current here in the Scriptures for America office is we've had several calls and emails just in the last week or two regarding vaccinations. People that have had to get the flu shot to keep their job as a nurse, or get this shot to get this job as in this or that. And, you know, there's not a magic paper that we can just sign and say, see here, here's my get out of jail free card, like in Monopoly. Here's my I don't have to get vaccinations card.
There used to be.
Well,
there
is a, you know, you can go down to the health department, and most health departments, it's my understanding, still have a vaccination exemption form for religious purposes. We've used those. And so, you know, that's something that you can do. You know, we encourage you that, you know, maybe you're just coming into this type of knowledge or understanding or whatever, but understand that there's a great bit there. That's not a, that's like trying to open up the book of Revelation and never read the Bible and just have an understanding of it. It's not going to happen. And in light of that...
That doesn't mean you're not going to get fired.
Absolutely. And in light of that, got a note here from... it was from Fox News, just from, I guess, yesterday. Two Wisconsin sisters claim the HPV vaccine shut down their ovaries. Two sisters, 20 and 19, in Wisconsin, and they, you know, did what they were told to do a few years ago, at least their parents did, and went and got them vaccinated on this HPV. And it says they believe the Gardasil shots caused their ovaries to stop producing eggs. Now, when you look at the picture of them, they're our people. They're two young Caucasian girls, okay, young ladies. A couple of things here from Merck. The Centers for Disease Control and the FDA say the vaccine is safe and can help prevent many of the 18,000 cancers in women and 8,000 cancers in men caused by HPV each year. You know, 10 times those numbers are killed by using prescription drugs every year. But this is going to help prevent it. The Vaccine Injury Program has awarded payments for the HPV vaccine injuries.
already in 68 cases for a total of at least $5.9 million. They've dismissed 63 claims, and 81 are still pending. Now, you don't hear that in the news. You didn't have old Governor Rick Perry wasn't down there saying, hey, take the shot. Give it to your young ladies, your daughters and your sons, you know, so when they're out there fornicating, they won't get sex from these filthy immigrants that have come in, and they won't, you know, get these diseases. And that's the quote I've got highlighted here. They believe Gardasil shots cause their ovaries to stop producing eggs. And I can remember in going through some of these old radio broadcasts of the pastor saying that very thing. This is about, it had nothing to do with cancer.
Neutering them.
It's about neutering them. It's about stopping our people, wiping us off of the face of the earth. Come and let us destroy. Psalms 83 tells about that. They plan to wipe Israel off the map. True Israel. That's their plans. Well, we got time for one last phone call. Hey, good morning, caller. We got about a minute.
Yeah, hi, Richard. Joe.
Good morning, Joe.
A real quick scripture for the people that refuse to acknowledge the repentance aspect of things is 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance.
Amen.
So, amen. Okay, thanks for taking my call. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Joe.
All right.
Well, as we wind down, guys, we'll definitely want to invite you to church tomorrow, Remnant. You can join us at scripturesforamerica.org, starting at 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 Central, and noon on the East Coast. Tune in for a two-hour church broadcast. We'll have a scriptural study, and then you'll get to see Ramrod. You'll get to see John there with an introduction and some scripture verses that he'll be sharing with us. And Shane and I is going to be there. I think we might have a new song that we haven't sang yet tomorrow. I know Paul's been working on, we've been getting the lyrics together for one. And so tune in. We just may. And last week we put some scripture verses up that we encourage you to read. So tune in tomorrow and have your Bibles ready. And we'll have a Holy Spirit-inspired message to do, as you said earlier, Kyle, to reprove and to rebuke and to encourage.
Exhort
and edify. And we know that we will have that tomorrow morning. Guys, if you got any closing thoughts, see you at church tomorrow. Hope you enjoy this song. Pastor liked it.
Rolling, 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 stay kind.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay kind. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever, God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, stay high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more, stay high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just
just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, barking will be waiting at the end of our ride.